Okay, we're going to go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, and you know, the last couple of weeks we looked at we are new creations in Christ, which is definitely a great thing, and we looked at walking in newness of life. If we're a new creation, then we can walk in that newness of life, can't we? And one of the ways we do that is we reckon the word in our lives, or we account the word in our lives to what it says. We believe what the word of God says. And, you know, we have to think in terms of what our new identity is, who we are. We are what the word of God says we are. And we are who what the word of God says we are. And we will be what the word of God says we will be. And we have what the word of God says we have. So, amen. Okay, so 1 John chapter 3. I didn't get there yet. I started talking. Chapter 3, it says in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." So, beloved, when are we sons of God?
Now.
Now, as soon as you're born again, you are now a son of God, and it's always now in that respect. You are now a son of God. You are now and never will be a son of God. When you're born of your earthly mother and father, you are now their child, right? Now and forever, as long as you are on the earth. And as soon as we're born again, we are now the sons of God. And then it goes on, it says, "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be in the future. But we know that when he shall appear," Jesus Christ, "in the future, we shall be in the future like him. For we shall see him as he is." So, that's pretty cool. Right now, we are sons of God present, but in the future, we don't know when that'll happen, but when he appears, when he comes back, we shall be as he is, which we know a little bit about that because he got raised from the dead and he had a spiritual body, and but he had an appearance, didn't he? And he could eat and he could drink and he could walk around, but he could move rather rapidly from one place to the other, and there didn't appear to be any way to restrain him by walls or roofs or floors or doors. And he could just be there and be gone. So that's kind of cool. And it says, we will be as he is. So, wow. That's kind of a cool thing to think about. So we are now sons of God. Not someday, not maybe, but now we are sons of God, and it says that we are beloved also. We are beloved of God. That means that he loves you. He doesn't love you because you do good things. He doesn't love you because you're so cute. You may be, and I'm sure he thinks that of all of us, but because we are his sons and daughters and because we believed his word to the point where we got born again, we have his Holy Spirit within us, and so we are beloved. You know, in the early 1950s or mid-1950s or maybe early 60s, there were two shows on TV. One was called I've Got a Secret. I don't know if you ever saw that, where somebody would come on and they would have a secret and they would put it up, I guess, on the screen or say it quietly in the panel. There was a panel of, I don't know, three or four supposed celebrities or people of some sort. And then they would ask the person questions trying to guess the secret. And, you know, it would be like, you know, I think I remember one time one guy held the record for the highest parachute jump at the time, or, you know, and some guy invented something. And so, you know, they would give him some kind of clue and then they'd question the person. You know, too often and too many times, who we are, what we are, what we have, and what we will be are a secret to Christians. You know, because they don't read the Word. And if you don't read the Word, you can't possibly know who you are in Christ. You can't possibly know what you are in Christ. You can't possibly know what you have in Christ, and you can't have an idea of who you will be and what you will be and what will become of you without knowing the Word of God. It's a secret. You know, God's not trying to keep it a secret either, is He? He's trying to let us know. He gave us His Word. And then the other one was to tell the truth. And to tell the truth, they'd have this guy come up there and they would read a statement. My name is so-and-so and I did this or that. And, you know, they would do some great thing and they would have three people, and then the panel would question the three people and try to guess which one was telling the truth. You know? Nobody's questioning us, but who are we and what do we have and what can we do? You know, well, we can do what the Word of God says we can do, to tell the truth. Okay, let's go to verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, that's us, doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, you know, sometimes to some people this may seem to be a puzzle, this verse. But you have to read the context. It is in terms of what? It has to do with the new birth and the seed that remaineth in us. That word remaineth means it abides in us. It stays in us. It remains in us. Once you get that seed, it's there. And in that seed, in that spiritual seed, you cannot sin, right? It says that God has forgiven all our sins. He doesn't see our sins. He doesn't remember our sins anymore. So it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed. His seed is God's seed, and it remains in him, in those in him that is born again. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Does that mean that we lead a perfect life?
No.
No, we make mistakes, don't we? We can break fellowship. But in that spirit, in that spiritual seed, we cannot sin. And anytime we do make a mistake, because we have that seed within us, it is a holy seed, it is Holy Spirit, God is willing and able to forgive us and cleanse us completely and totally. That's a pretty good deal. And because we're beloved of Him, we are His sons. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. So we can sin, but we can't sin where? In His Spirit, right? In the seed. Okay, chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we are born of an incorruptible seed. Now the seed we're born of initially, first time, is a corruptible seed, which means it can die and will die if the Lord tarries. The NIV, New International Version, translates this, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. And that's really how it reads in Greek. It's not the seed that liveth and abideth forever, but it is the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And because He promises us that it is an incorruptible seed, it will live and abide forever. But it is the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, or endures forever. So that's pretty cool. We are sons of God now, and we have an incorruptible or imperishable seed. You know, if you go into the grocery store, there is a section where it's called perishables, isn't it? What's something that's a perishable? Thank you, Steve. And Steve knows, because Steve in the business, right, doing the produce department, the perishables, and how much of that stuff did you throw away?
Probably maybe up to 1%.
1%?
If you were a good operation.
If you were good. If you were bad, you could probably do...
You'd be a large, much larger number.
Yep. There we go. Thank you for the expertise. Perishable, meaning it rots. It goes bad. You know, and you ever go, well, I don't know, but probably the women when they go shopping or whoever goes shopping, you go to get milk, you check the date, you know, or you look at the produce to see if it's good, right? And to make sure that it's fresh, you feel the tomatoes to make sure they're not too soft, or the peaches that they're not too ripe, or the bananas that they're not too yellow, you know, because they're perishable. Okay, so our Holy Spirit is imperishable. It doesn't go bad. It's good forever. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. So we are born again. We are beloved sons of God. That's what we are right now. And that's what we have. Right now. Chapter 4, 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, if you are born again, you have Spirit, and then you can be led by the Spirit of God. If you're not born again, then you cannot be led by the Spirit of God, can you? Because you don't have, well, you could be led by another spirit, but it wouldn't be the Spirit of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption or sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, or Reverend Cummins translated as, that is to say, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. The Spirit, that seed, that is that imperishable, incorruptible seed. That Holy Spirit within us is a witness to our spirit that we are the sons of God. It is proof. It is the proof that we are a son of God now, that we have eternal life. It is an eternal life seed. We are what God, Word of God says we are. We are sons. And we are beloved. And that is not a secret. God tells us the truth. Let's go to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's kind of interesting. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it lists things. It's kind of like it's a personification, which is a figure of speech. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. We are victorious. We are actually super victorious. So we are now what God says we are. We are victors, more than conquerors, victors, victorious. Right? That's the truth. Anything that says otherwise is wrong. So when you run up a situation, or you run up against a situation or a circumstance that says otherwise, what do you take your mind to?
The Word.
That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to renew our mind to God's Word to see what God's Word says. Well, I'm beloved of God. I am His child. I am His son. I have His Holy Spirit within me. He sees me as perfect and pure and beautiful. Therefore, in this situation, He has made me more than a conqueror, and I can speak in tongues. That witness that I have is proof that He will help me to take care of this situation. How about that? Let's go back to 1 John. First John chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, ye are of God, little children. Hearkening back to chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are you sons of God. Here it says, ye are of God, little children. If you are born of God, then you are of God, right? If you're born of your mother and father, you are of your mother and father. In this case, our Father is God in heaven, so we are of God, little children. And have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And overcome them, if you go back and read in verse 1, 2, and 3, it says, beloved, verse 1, again, it's talking to those that are beloved, sons of God. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How do you try or how do you measure? With the Word of God, right? You measure it against the Word of God. I remember one time I met this guy many, many years ago, and he told me that he was a prophet. And I said, how do you know? And he said, well, God showed up in my bedroom one night and I talked to him face to face. I saw God. And I knew he was lying. How did I know? Yeah, no man has seen God at any time. And then, of course, he went on to babble about other things, which made it even more sure. And he confirmed what I knew. The trying of his spirit was that he had a spirit that was not of God. He was not led by the Spirit of God. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You know, it's pretty cool if you listen carefully to manifestations. On a regular basis, God gives us words speaking of Jesus Christ, doesn't he? And speaks of his Son and what his Son did for us and that he's sending his Son back for us, and who we are in his Son, and so on and so forth. So that spirit does confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You know, and you know, that just simply means anyone that's against Christ. You know, anyone that goes against Christ. You know, the great prophet Muhammad was Antichrist because he said, you know, Christ was just another man, another prophet. And he failed because people didn't adhere to what he taught, and so God now sent Muhammad. But if you study the Quran, he's going backwards. He's taking you away from God, not towards God, because if you look at what Jesus Christ accomplished, he brought you toward God, nearer to God, right? Why do I need to go back to the law when Jesus Christ fulfilled the law? And why do I have to atone for sins that God has already atoned for? Pretty cool. Okay, so ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. All those that don't speak for God and all those that go against God, whether they do it purposefully or ignorantly, it doesn't matter. You have overcome them because greater is he that is in you. And who's in you?
Christ.
Christ is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we can say that, and he can say that, God can say that, because Christ overcame all, didn't he? He paid the full and complete price so that we could be the sons of God, so that we could stand before God with any sense of fear, guilt, or shame, because he made it available for us to be more than conquerors, didn't he? What a cool thing. So that's great. We are overcomers, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's go to chapter 5. And verse 4. And it says, for whatsoever or whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's verse 1. Let's get down to verse 4. And whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our believing. So what does that tell you? You know, okay, so you're born again. Does that mean you're just going to automatically overcome everything? No, you have to believe what God says. Pretty simple, isn't it? Okay. This is our victory that overcometh the world, our believing. It's a pretty straightforward statement, isn't it? Pretty straightforward. Does it say anything else?
No.
Nope. No. Say you got to atone for your sins first? You have to be a goody good shoes. You have to kneel down when you pray. You have to go to church on Sunday. You have to do this or that. No, it's just our believing overcometh. Our believing overcometh the world. That is how we are victorious. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You know, and of course, that implies, this is a tough one. We are called believers, which implies we do what?
Believe.
Wow. We are to believe. You know, it does talk in 1 Corinthians about unbelieving believers, doesn't it? When you're born again, you have believed. That's the way you get born again. That's how you get to be a son of God. So you would be termed a believer. But are you an actively believing believer? You know, are you inactive in your believing? Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God to save us because we believe. You know, he sent people to preach the word, to speak the word. The spoken word makes the written word known. The written word makes Christ known. And we believe it, we get born again. It pleased God. It pleased God to save us when we believe his word. And it doesn't just please him to save us initially so that we get born again, but it pleases him to save us anytime we believe his word to bring deliverance in any situation where we need to overcome. It pleases him to save. Why? Because he loves us. We're beloved. We're beloved of God. And we have overcome the world because greater is him that is in us than he that is in the world. Does he put any restrictions on that?
No.
Does he, when it said that we are victorious in our believing, did he put any restrictions on that?
No.
It's just when we believe, we are victorious. We overcome when we believe. Pretty simple. We have what God says we have. It's no secret. It's the truth that he will deliver us when we believe what he says. What an easy way to go. And you know what? It doesn't matter. It says that it pleased God to save them that believe. So we are saved and we are saved. We are what God says we are. And it doesn't matter what you feel like. Did you ever wake up and say, you know, I don't feel like I'm an American today?
No.
Did you ever do that?
No.
No. Did you ever wake up and say, wow, I just don't feel like I have freedom of speech anymore? Did you ever? I mean, one thing that Americans really lock into, if they lock into any freedom that they have is, you know, this is America, I can say whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we used to say that in the schoolyard when we were kids. I'm free, I can say whatever I want. Screw you, your mother has a mustache. Yeah, that's what we used to say. It's a free country, you can say anything. Right? And you say that when you're a kid? Say that kind of stuff? Your mother wears combat boots? Yeah. For some people, that's step up. Others, it's a step down. But that's true. You know, it's silly, isn't it? We don't think about feeling like that because, you know, we know it. In our hearts, in our minds, it was drilled into us from when we were, maybe not anymore, but when I was a kid, it was drilled into us. We're Americans. We're free. We're sons of God. Doesn't matter what we feel like. Doesn't matter if we feel like we're overcomers or conquerors, more than conquerors, whether we're loved of God or not. And we are, regardless of what we feel like. You know, you just got to control your mind and discipline your mind to think that way. It's, you know, training your mind to stay on the promises of God. It's easy about some things, isn't it? I mean, you could never get talked. Can anybody talk you out of being an American? I mean, if you were a naturalized citizen, they could talk you out of it. But, you know, those of us that were born here and raised here, I'm an American. You can't talk me out of it. Well, why should you get talked out of being a son of God? That's ridiculous. It's even more ridiculous because God is much truer, much more reliable than the Constitution. By far. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8. So we are believers because we believe. We are more than conquerors. And we're all those things because God says so. And what God says is true. Experience doesn't make it true, does it?
Nope.
Results don't make something true. God's word makes something true. Whatever God says is true, is true. And that's it. I remember Dr. Worrell used to talk about who was the guy that wrote The Positive of Power, Power of Positive Thinking. Norman Vincent Peale. Dr. Worrell knew him when he was a young man. And Norman Vincent Peale said, you know, my parents, they were dead, and he saw them in a procession coming into church. And Dr. Worrell tried to persuade him that that wasn't true. But it was that guy's experience, so he absolutely believed it. You know? But we know that the dead are dead, aren't they? They're not alive. Once somebody dies, they are asleep and they await the return of Jesus Christ. You know, if they're born again, when Christ comes back, they will be raised from the dead and gathered in the heavenlies. If they're not born again, they will wait till the resurrections of the just and the unjust and be judged. And at that time, they will get up either to live on or to die again. The second death, as the word says. See, it's true because the word says it's true. You know, if somebody gets healed, does that mean it was the power of God?
No.
You know, it can be fake healing. It can be a counterfeit healing. Are there counterfeit? It talks in the Old Testament law about prophets, false prophets doing phony signs and wonders and miracles. And if it leads you away from God and the truth of God's word, then it's a lie. So it's only true when God's word says it's true. It doesn't have anything to do with your experience. It doesn't have anything to do with results. Chapter 8, verse 17. It says, and if children, we already established that we're children, beloved sons of God, born of his spirit, we have the witness, we have proof. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are what the Word of God says we are. And we have what the Word of God says we have. So if we're heirs, we have what?
We have an inheritance.
An inheritance. You're a little slow there. And if so be that we suffer with him or we endure with him, that we may be also glorified together. Meaning, you know, that what it said in 1 John, that it does not appear what we shall be, that but when he appears, we shall be like him. We shall be glorified together with Christ. That's an exciting thing to think about in the future. You know, somebody tells you you don't have a future, you say, yes, I do. Okay, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9 real quick. Hebrews chapter 9. It says, and for this cause, he, Jesus Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions. Verse 15, sorry. And for this cause, he is the mediator. He, Jesus Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Not only do we have eternal life, not only do we have an imperishable seed or an incorruptible seed, but we have an eternal inheritance. Goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah, that's great. You know, if you got an inheritance, if your father and mother, your aunt, your uncle, somebody had a lot of money or they left you a big inheritance, you could go through it, couldn't you? You could use it up. Use it up and waste it. It could be gone forever. I did that already. But the inheritance that we get from God is what?
Eternal.
Incorruptible, eternal. It's never going to end. It does. You can't run out. Can't spend it all. Can't use it all up. We are sons. We are heirs. We are joint heirs. And we have an inheritance. Let's go back to 1 John. Chapter 3 again. You know, you think you learn these things and they're so basic, but you just got to keep putting it into your mind and your heart and your thoughts, because that's how you learn to really live it. It becomes an integral part of your thinking and your mind and your life. And that's when you see things happen. You got to expect to see God work in your life. But you're not going to expect to see Him work in your life if you don't have these things ingrained in your mind. It's got to be like, you know, somebody or some situation comes up and it puts you in a situation of condemnation or guilt. Well, what do you got to do then? Yeah, you got to think about who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, the price He paid for you. Is that in your mind? Is that in your heart? Or is it something that's, you know, on the outskirts, on the edges, on the periphery? God says we're to put it in the depths of our heart and keep it there. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold. Behold means what?
Look at this.
Pay attention. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. What manner of love was it?
Unbelievable.
Perfect. Never ending. Love beyond measure. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We didn't earn it. We didn't get an advanced degree in spirituality. We didn't write a thesis and get tested. We believed. We believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And when you think about that, and you think about all the things that people do to attain and to get things and to get designations in front of their name or behind their name or anything else. And then you think about how it said in 1 Corinthians, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, that when we believe we're saved. You know, that's all it is. You know, what love did God have? All you have to do is believe. You didn't have to atone for your own sins. You didn't have to pay a price. You didn't have to memorize anything. You didn't have to do anything but confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Boom, you're done. God loved you that much. What manner of love God the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Wow. What a great thing to look forward to. What a future. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. So we are also pure because the word says we are pure. That's pretty cool. We have this hope where?
In us.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? That's what that means. Christ is in you, and that is the hope of glory. Because it says we will be glorified together with him. And verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. When you're in him, there is what?
No sin.
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. We are righteous as he is righteous. We are pure as he is pure. We shall be like him as he is. And we will be glorified together. What a great deal. Right now, we are sons of God. We're beloved. We are more than conquerors. We're overcomers. And that victory is our believing. Pretty simple. So you believe who you are, you believe what you have, and you go out and believe, and you live it. And we are righteous as he is righteous. How righteous is Jesus Christ? How pure is Jesus Christ? Can't get any better. And we have that Holy Spirit within us. Holy Spirit. You know, God sanctified us. He made us holy so that we could have his Holy Spirit within us. He cleansed us totally. Because if we weren't cleansed, we couldn't have that Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be worthy of it. But he cleansed us. We could never have done that. We could never have done that. He did it for us. He made it so simple and so great. And we just need to put it on in our minds and believe. Believe. That's the simplicity of it. It's not a complex thing. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. We are what the Word of God says we are. We're his sons, beloved right now. We are righteous as he is righteous. We are pure as he is pure. And we will be as he is. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and for taking care of us. And we just thank you that you can teach us better how to believe. How we can just put that into our hearts and our minds. And we can see the great simplicity and truth of it, and that we can see how simple it really is, and that it just becomes just almost an unconscious thing. It just is just a natural part of our life, a habit pattern that we just look to you, think your word, and believe your promises. And we just thank you for this in the great and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.